The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorn Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Good afternoon, Junior.
Yes, I know. It is afternoon. I'm looking out the window at the studio here, and it's so dark outside. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, it's just cloudy. And yeah, so
it is.
How are you?
It
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm good. When I come up into my studio, and I got up here a little late this morning, I can always, you know, when it's dark out, my studio's dark, you know,
yeah.
So I have all these extra lights that bring a lot of brightness and light into the room. And it really does help because, you know, that sunlight affects your brain. And it's very real. It's scientific. There's lots of research. So when it's sad outside, you do feel sad. But I want to remind everyone that it's going to be cold the next couple of days. So please, please bring your animals inside or make sure that they have proper hay and blankets and water and food. And if it gets super cold, bring them in for the night. You know, I used to tell people, just bring them into your bathroom or whatever, you know. Hopefully there's not that many people out there listening that are in that circumstance. But, I saw some homeless people in the last couple of days with a lot of animals. And it just, it all breaks my heart.
Yes.
It all breaks my heart.
I think Saturday and Sunday it's going to get below freezing. So yeah, especially
oh, wow.
this weekend. Yeah, there's a chance of snow on Sunday. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If you're able to bring them in, bring them in.
Bring them in. Yeah, and at least make sure they have warmth and love. And it's you know, if you're going to have a pet, you got to do that. It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people feel very differently about it than I do, and that's okay because we all need to get along and we all have different opinions, right?
Yes.
And so we've got a great show today, though. We do. We've got Von Eaglin coming up at the half. We're going to be talking about New Year, new habits, of course. It's a timely topic. And we've got Beth Reeder Johnson on the line with us right now. We're talking about setting New Year's resolutions that really stick. 5 ways to create lasting habits. If you've never heard Beth Reeder Johnson before, you're in for a treat. She is a lovely woman, and she is a licensed psychiatric social worker and individual family and couples therapist with over 14 years of experience working with children, adolescents, adults, couples and families. She is also a certified Imago therapist trained to help help couples communicate, resolve conflict, and reconnect. Her website is erjcounseling.com. That's erjcounseling.com, or on Instagram at Beth Reeder Johnson, Facebook ER Counseling, and Twitter Beth Reeder Johns. There's no ton.
They ran out of letters, I think, for me on
Don't
Twitter.
You hate that?
Too long.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's funny. You only have so many letters. You have to get very clever and very creative.
You do. Instagram is easier. It's just my name. So yeah,
that's
funny. You ran out of letters on Twitter.
But it's so great to have you on the air with us today. And a lot of people are out there that really want to change their lives. They want to develop new habits. And I think this is like a really great subject and very timely, as I said, with it being a new year. So I have to ask you this, though, Beth. Why do so many people fail at New Year's resolutions? I ask this question every single year.
Well, I think it's a good question, and I think it's a complicated question. And I've really been exploring this because a lot of my clients are coming to me. I see adolescents, individuals, couples, and they're asking me, how do I really make change this year? Because every year they try over and over again only to fail. And I think one of the big things that happens is there's a couple of things. First of all, we're not always realistic about what we want to do and in the time frame we want to do it. We want to do something for the month of January and then have it be fixed and maybe go back to the way we were doing it before. So I don't necessarily think that works. Also, I think we need to take a good look at what are our negative coping skills. When I say coping skills, it's just how we cope with life. And if every day you're coming home and sitting on the couch and eating a bag of chips, do you really want to give up that coping skill? And there's this real rub when I have people that have things that they're doing that they know are not good for them, whether it's drinking a bottle of wine to themselves or eating a bag of chips or eating a whole thing of ice cream to themselves or whatever it is that they're doing that they wish they could change, we also need to be asking ourselves, what am I getting from this? Mm-hmm. And if I'm just going to take it away, am I going to try to replace it with something else? Or am mm-hmm. I going to try to create a new habit that also gives me this sense of satisfaction that I'm getting maybe from this negative thing? Because mm-hmm. the only reason we do something negative is because we at least get joy or satisfaction when we're doing it, even if it makes us feel better afterwards. But it would certainly be great if we could shift into something that we could do that wouldn't leave us with that guilty feeling afterwards. But we've got to get real with ourselves and ask ourselves, can I get this relief from something healthier? And I really have to look at my negative beliefs on, do I even really believe change is possible? I set these goals, but I don't meet them every year. So does part of me really think, I'm not really going to do this anyway. It's just kind of the status quo. I've got to say I'm doing something, but I'm not really doing it. Yeah. You know?
Well, a lot of things are coming to mind when you were just speaking. You talk about chips, you talk about wine. A few chips is okay. A little bit of wine is okay. And so where my mind goes from that is, a lot of different areas, like the dopamine release or the endorphins from drinking or eating or anything that stimulates your brain because it does make you happy. But where does discipline fall into this? How important is discipline when it comes to creating lasting good habits?
Well, so I've really studied this. I'm actually pretty passionate about this, and I don't claim to be the end-all be-all expert. I'm looking at people like BJ Fogg out of Stanford, who studied this for his whole career, James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits. BJ Fogg's book is Tiny Habits. I love Gretchen Rubin's work on habit setting and the different types of person you are to figure out your different habits. I mean, I think there's a lot going into this. But I think discipline is highly overrated. I think discipline is something that's going to help. But I think if you're relying solely on discipline or willpower, it's not going to get you there. We need to set up our environment to help make change possible. And of course, I don't think it's bad to eat a few chips. And if you go out to Mexican food and you're here in Texas, you should eat chips and queso. If you like that, you should do that. I think what we're talking about when we talk about coping skills, it's what are the things I do to help myself feel better? And we've all been in this very inward time during, COVID and everyone having to stay at home or at least staying at home a lot more. And so looking at if you're having a glass of wine with friends or with the family members in your house and you're enjoying each other in conversation, that's one thing. If I'm sitting on my couch and I'm eating a full bag of chips every night because I'm sat and down trying to help myself feel better or a full carton of ice cream or a full bottle of wine just all to myself and I'm kind of inward and then I'm doing it over and over again and I'm feeling the negative effects and I'm feeling guilty, that to me falls under more negative coping skills. And if I've got those, it's going to be harder to just say, oh my gosh, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution not to eat any more ice cream or chips. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out, what am I going to do to replace that? Maybe I switch to hot chocolate or hot tea at night. Maybe I switch and do something else. Maybe I go on a walk after dinner instead of just continuing to snack. But I try to find ways to satisfy and get that dopamine release that won't hurt me. So I think you're exactly right. There's some moderation in all things. I mean, it's fine. It's mm-hmm. just looking at what are the habits I'm having that really might derail my success. If I'm trying to start a healthy habit, what's going to really stand in my way?
Yeah, it's an interesting. It's interesting to talk about this. I feel completely different than you about discipline. I feel that discipline is absolutely critical. Of course, I'm not a shrink, but I know in my life when I get up and I make my bed every morning, the days that I don't have the same kind of days. They're more scattered. Mm. You know, for me, discipline is everything. And I teach that to my children, too, because I really feel that if you don't have, when I say discipline, I mean keeping your room clean, you know, making your bed, you know, not overdoing anything, getting up and exercising the discipline within yourself in order to get up and do what you need to do every day. And sometimes you don't, you know, we don't have lives where we get to, you know, most of us anyway, pick and choose what we do and don't want to do. You know, you have to do your dishes. That takes discipline instead of leaving them in the sink, right? Or am I wrong?
Right. But yes, you're completely right. But I agree with you that discipline is a key ingredient. I don't think I put it as maybe high on my list as you do, because I think if we start healthy habits, then we don't have to be as disciplined.
Gotcha.
We don't have to have as much willpower.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So whether I'm trying to take something out or put it in, if I get up, like I have a 13-year-old and I want him to make his bed every day too. But what I've also done is shown him how easy it is. I'm like, keep it simple. You know, he's got this great thing. He fluffs it out. He pulls up the sheet and the blanket. He fluffs out the comforter, put the pillows up, and the bed is made. I'm like, I'm trying to show him the simplest ways to get to where he needs to be in life. And you're exactly right. If you rinse your dishes right after you eat, it's a no-brainer. But if you eat mac and cheese and you let it sit for 4 hours, then you got a real job on your hands. So it's all about trying to figure out, how do I do things in my life to actually make it easier and more satisfying? And a lot of times just doing things straight away makes it easier, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you waste so much water when you don't do that too, by the way, which is bad for the environment. But my sheets are fluffy. They're easy to, you know, and so are my daughters. I get it. And because you do have to, at that age, kind of make it simple. If you make it too regimented or too, you know, just too military-like, they're gonna hate you. So, but I do think it's an important precedence to set at the beginning of each day, that you have to do things that you don't want to do sometimes, and you just do them. You just do them and make it a healthy habit. But I'm looking at the clock. We have to go for a quick break. We're going to play a song that we feel. Junior, do you want to speak on this? It's a song that's I love. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's about peace on earth. And I feel, in light of what happened in Washington yesterday, that we all need to come together.
Yeah, and that's what I agree with. I mean, I feel like no matter what side you're on, like politically, it doesn't matter. Like this,
it doesn't matter.
The violence just needs to stop, and everybody just needs to come together. I mean, that's just, we need to just start acting like humans again. I mean, you know, the world's looking at us and almost laughing, like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's a great song, and I think it's kind
beautiful.
Of, I think it's fitting. Yes,
it is, and it's the Harlem Choir, a boys' choir,
mm-hmm.
and it's let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. So let's hear it, Junior.
Perfect harmony. us on social media at One Life Radio.
All right, what a switch. Hello, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are here with Beth Reeder Johnson, continuing our talk about setting New Year's resolutions that really stick and five ways to create lasting habits. Beth Reeder Johnson is a licensed psychiatric social worker and individual family and couples therapist with over 14 years of experience working with children, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. Her website is erjcounseling.com or on Instagram at Beth Reeder Johnson, as well as Twitter, Beth Reeder Johns, no ton, and then Facebook at ERJ Counseling. Okay, Beth, let's continue talking about what are the five ways to make a new behavior stick?
Okay, well, as I said before, I'm super excited about this. I just think it's really important to go into it with a very positive, resilient mindset, setting really realistic expectations. You know, if you've looked at what's happened in the past, maybe you've overshot it. You said you were going to exercise every single day in January, and maybe that wasn't realistic for you. Maybe you said you were going to do something totally independently, and it would have helped you out to do something with a friend. But change is much easier if we come from a place of self-acceptance and self-love. So if we're doing something more body shaming or doing something to our body, I mean, most of the goals I've heard about this week have been fitness goals or exercise goals, or people want to start journaling or things like that. So if you have a really positive, resilient mindset, meaning I'm going to set these realistic expectations, I'm going to decide ahead what's going to happen if I mess up, don't meet my goal or miss a day. And so by being not only positive, but also resilient, it means I'm going to rebound quickly. Mm-hmm. If I just said I wasn't going to eat any chips in January, and then I go out to dinner and I have chips and queso, I'm just going to say, okay, that was a meal. I'm going to continue on with my goal. Or even better yet, maybe setting a realistic goal, which is I'm going to eat a certain way Monday through Friday, and I'm going to give myself Friday night or Saturday night to eat, to have maybe a cheat meal or different things.
Yeah,
so it's really setting it up in a really realistic way.
Yeah.
The second thing to do, which I love, is habit stacking.
And habit stacking.
So if you've already got a habit that works for you, or just a habit that you do, like brushing your teeth, you know, BJ Fogg tells a story that he, especially since quarantine, not when he's teaching at Stanford, but while he's home, he's been, every time he goes to the bathroom and washes his hands, he then does 2 push-ups because he wanted to start doing more push-ups.
Oh, I
now,
like that.
If he wants to only do 2, he only does 2. If he wants to go ahead and do 5, he can do 5. I have another client this week, and we were talking about, she makes her coffee every morning. As she stirs her coffee, she thinks about the intention she's setting for the day. So she already makes her coffee. She already stirs her coffee. She's just habit stacking. She's adding a habit on to something she already does.
Nice.
Thinking a positive thought about yourself while you're brushing your teeth. Thinking of a positive thought about your spouse or your child while you're brushing your teeth. Whatever you're trying to do and be more positive or more compassionate, you can do that with habit stacking. The next one.
I love it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just, I'm just commenting that I love it. I think it's a great idea. And I do some of that myself. I never had heard the word stacking when it comes to habits, but I do. I love it.
Yeah, you just combined it with things you already do. The next thing is go small. I mean, this is where I think people really overshoot. There was a video I saw on YouTube. You shouldn't love YouTube the way my family probably does. But I love all the little videos of, like, some guy started doing yoga, and he did 10 minutes of yoga a day, and it was one of those fast progression things where you could see how his body changed. And over a year, he looked so fit, so healthy, so in shape, and he had done this small thing.
Wow.
He was like, in the time I didn't scroll on a feed, I did yoga instead.
Mm.
And what actually ended up happening was he extended his practice because he ended up enjoying it and loving it so much. But it's not saying I'm going to run for an hour a day, or I'm going to do this for an hour a day, or trying to create such big things that if we don't do it, we just feel like we failed and we throw our hands in the air.
Yeah.
It's like, especially right now, there's so many 10-minute videos. There is a 10-minute meditation or a 5-minute meditation you can do, or there's a 10-minute arms and strength exercise, or whatever you want to add on to your day. I just encourage you to go small. You know, I think it's really... It can, and then if you love it, you add on to it naturally, and then it just feels super organic.
Yeah.
The next one is keep it easy. I work out in the mornings. I do not consider that I'm a very well-disciplined person. I'm not like you, but the way I get my ass out of bed and to do what I'm supposed to do is I lay my workout clothes out, right? Like, I don't give myself any room to do anything else. I walk in the bathroom. I brush my teeth. I take my Synthroid, which is my, and then I put on my workout clothes. And the first day you do it, it may be hard, and you may have to worry about that negative voice in your head who's trying to tell you, go back to sleep, you don't have to do this, whatever. But once you start doing it and your clothes are right there, you've made it so easy for yourself. All you got to do then is go do the exercise, right?
Yeah.
Like, once you get your clothes on, you're going.
Well, I'm not as disciplined as you think. So I don't mind. I didn't want to come off as like, oh, I'm so disciplined. I go days where I don't exercise, but I always, you know, get back to that good habit. And I think that you just gave such excellent advice. You do have to start small, baby steps with anything, no matter what it is. And I understand now from when we were talking in the beginning about the discipline, where I completely understand now where you're going with it, is because if you make it something that you hate or you dread, you're less likely to do it, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's the last one. Pick something you enjoy to reimagine success. When I wanted to start working out after my son, I didn't pick something that scared me. I love to dance, even though I'm not a great dancer, but I picked Zumba because I was like, okay, this is like dance class in high school, which I loved. So I'm like, I want to do something that I love because then I'm more likely to do it. And when I'm trying to get my son to make up his bed, which he, you know, doesn't really want to do, I say, but think about how you feel about your room when it's clean and how it's so much easier to do your homework. That's the buy-in for him because he likes what his room looks like. He just doesn't always like getting it there himself. But that's what we all have to do for ourselves. You know, our thoughts affect our feelings, affect our behavior. So we want to think about what actually makes us feel good. And we want to pick those things to do that make us feel good without the guilt, you know, that are really, truly positive coping skills for us.
Yeah.
And
add
those things into our lives.
Right. And then sometimes you have to do things you don't really like. But, you know, I try to make things that I don't like to do, I look at them in a good light. So, you know, doing the dishes, for example, I meditate while I'm doing the dishes. I call it my doing dishes meditation, you know, and I try to find clever ways to save water and just things like that and make it fun, you know. And not everything's going to be fun. And we all need to realize that, though, right? That not everything's going to be fun. Sometimes you're going to have to do stuff that's not fun. Like, for me, picking up dog poop is not fun, but I have to do it, you know?
Right. But, you know, you nailed it on the head. But it's also having that subtle mindset shift of, if I want my yard to look nice, then I pick up the dog poop. And honestly, I make it like a treasure hunt. I mean, in our backyard where I'm like, whoever finds it, okay, tell me where it is, da, da, da. And then I come and pick it up because I'm, you know, I only have one child and I don't know, I'm pandering to him, telling me he's going to puke if he has to pick it up. But anyway, you know, but we make it like a game, right? And so and that's what you're saying about the dishes too. It's so funny because my grandmother lives in Midland and they've always had these water shortages. So she always feels, how long can I just keep the water on and then immediately turn it off, right? So that I can just get the dish clean and they've got a bucket they use and all this stuff, but it's finding ways, you know, that's very Buddhist of you, you know, because it's trying to find ways where it's like, how can I be present in this moment and still get joy out of it, even if this isn't my favorite thing?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, every time we find joy, and if we're trying to create a new habit, we've got to find one where we make it easy, we stack it with other things, we have a positive mindset, and we're doing small enough that we really feel like we can enjoy it and move into it without so much pressure and overwhelm.
I love the advice. I do. And thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. We'll have more time. I really felt it was important to play that song today, though, that ate a little bit into our time. Did you enjoy it, Beth?
It clicked off, so I didn't get to hear
oh,
what it
no.
was. It was, like, went to commercial. I didn't get to hear
oh,
it.
You didn't get
so
to
I'm
hear
sorry,
it. Doggone
I missed it.
Oh, no,
but
no
worries.
I'll
go back and listen.
It's absolutely beautiful. It brings me to tears every time I hear it. And I just thought it was so important that we put that message out there today. So thank you for going along with it. And I look forward to having you on the air real soon. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, everyone. Beth Reeder Johnson, check her out at erjcounseling.com. We'll be right back with Von Eaglin. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
I love that song. Oh my gosh.
I know. I did the original and I'm doing the remix. So
I'm telling you, I always lose it during the Peace on Earth song. I don't know why. It's so beautiful.
It is.
It invokes so much emotion in me. But everyone, thank you for listening and welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Von Eaglin with us. He is one of my favorite guys. He has been on the show for a very long time. And if you're just now listening, again, you're in for a treat. Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is also a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships dialogue, and you can find him at VonTalksTherapy.com. That's VonTalksTherapy.com, or follow him on Instagram at VonTalks. How are you doing, Von?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, of course. Happy New Year to you. That's our topic today is New Year, New Habits, the same with Beth Reeder Johnson. So we're just continuing on. But many times people have several areas in their life, Von, as you well know, that they'd really like to change. And so is it possible to make several life changes all at one time?
Well, the quick answer, well, I don't know if it's necessarily a quick answer, but it depends, but mostly no. I don't know if mostly no is a good answer, but it is possible, but highly unlikely that you're going to make all these sudden changes all at once. And in fact, that's the problem with a lot of goal setting is that you start focusing in on the goal itself instead of focusing in on the system to accomplish that specific goal, if that makes sense. I'll give you an example.
I was an example. The first thing that came to my mind is, you know, at your house, if you want to clean up your house, you clean one room at a time, right? Not the whole thing at once.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'll give you an example. So, like, let's say you're a coach and your goal is to win a championship, but you're not focusing in on the system itself. And the system itself is the key to actually getting the actual goal accomplished. So your system is the way you recruit players or how you manage assistant coaches or how you conduct your practices. If you're an entrepreneur, if your goal is to, you know, have a $1 million business, you know, how is it that you test the market? How do you, you know, what are your product ideas? How do you hire employees? You know, how do you run your marketing campaign? So, but if you completely ignore your goals, let's say you completely ignore your goals and you focus specifically on your system, Well, will you accomplish your goals then? And by and large, the answer is yes. So when you're looking at accomplishing multiple goals at the same time, we're looking at also changing multiple systems. So that's why I say mostly no, you know. So we need to kind of figure out, you know, what's your system and how can you make your system more effective and more efficient?
Well, how do you best figure out your system, your personal system, let's say? Your personal system. How do you figure that out? What's the first step?
Well, I think you have to really identify really with yourself, if that makes sense. So let me kind of go into a little bit detail because we're getting a little bit more psychological. So we're talking about habits. Your habits tend to make up who you are. And by and large, your habits are automated because the way the brain works is that we try to cut things in half and we try to have as much mental capacity because we can only focus in on a few different things at a time. You know, having fragmented attention will not make you more productive if you can focus in on one thing at a time. So when we're talking about your habits are about 60-70% of your behavior. We think we're actually making choices, but they're actually not choices. They are actually habits or things that are rituals within our life. Now, your habits will make up who you are and your identity. And if you don't have if you're not quite sure of your identity, then your habits will follow along with that. So what I mean by that is this. You know, let's say you identify with being a smoker. You know, you think you're a smoker. So when someone offers you a cigarette, you say, oh, no, thank you. I don't smoke. Well, your identity needs to shift just slightly. And when they offer you a cigarette, you would say, no, thank you. I'm not a smoker. So now your identity has shifted as opposed to just saying, oh, you know what? I don't do that behavior. I am not a smoker. Speaks more to my identity, and then that's going to follow along with your habits. Does that make sense? I'm hoping I'm making a little sense. Yeah. I know it's a little convoluted, though. So.
No. It makes a lot of sense. It does, at least to me. And so, but what happens when we try to change too much at once?
When you try to change too much at once, a lot of times you end up sabotaging your actual goal because really it's about making the small changes. And the small changes are the key to being successful and establishing a new habit. Because here's the thing about it, is that all habits have to be established before they can be approved upon. So I'll give you an example. If you're going to become someone who wants to get fit, then, and I've heard of one client who did this. So what they did was literally put their clothes on, go to the gym, like work out one set for 5 minutes, and then go home. Now, most people would think that's kind of being silly. Like, why would you put your clothes on, go all the way to the gym, you know, drive, get in your car, you know, and then go to the gym, do one set and go home? Well, that person was actually trying to, establish a habit or mastering the art of showing up and being the kind of person who actually goes to the gym. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about the small changes within habits, really what you want to just do is just try to, you know, improve 1% per day. You know, if you're going to the gym, get that, you know, one extra rep in, you know, one extra set. We don't need to do this overhaul of habits. We don't need to try to do everything all at once. It just needs to be these small micro wins that you do each and every day. And then over time, you're going to accomplish the goal that you want.
I like that. I've been wearing my workout clothes every single day, so I don't have to set them out. Like Beth Reeder Johnson said.
Did you wear them to bed, Bernadette? Or,
yeah,
I did.
You know what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad you brought it up. Because life gets crazy sometimes. I had a horrible day yesterday after the show. Yeah. My day went sideways, and I didn't get a workout in yesterday. I'm hoping I will. I'm going to try to make it happen today. But I actually slept in my workout clothes, and I've got them on right now.
I got to speak to this, Bernard. This is great. This is a great segue. Because here's the thing: when most people don't actually have a problem starting a goal. Again, a lot of people start New Year's resolutions. Most people have a lot of difficulty finishing because I think 9% of people finish their New Year's resolution. And the thing that's most important is not the day you mess up. So you messed up the day you didn't work out. The most important day is not the day you mess up, because when a lot of people, whenever they mess up, they just abandon the goal completely. Like if there's a 30-day trial, they don't stop on day 28. They stop on day 2. So the first day you mess up is the most important day, is whenever you get back on the horse. So the day after you mess up, that's the most important day. So you give yourself a little grace, give yourself a little compassion. Okay, I messed up, but hey, I can do it again tomorrow. And then you get back working on your goal, even though you messed up today.
Well, and I'm not taking these clothes off until I get that workout in. You know, I clean the wings and under the wings and the engine, so I'm good to go. But
good deal. You know, you got to do these quick wipe off. You know, and then you can you're eventually going to get them funky. But you know, I totally understand the quick wipe down just so you can accomplish
there
that
goal.
There you go.
So. Yeah. It's so funny. I love being on the air with you. We're going to go for a quick break. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Von Eaglin. I told you were in for a treat. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, Junior's getting me ready for my workout. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We're broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And we are continuing with Von Eaglin. Our topic is New Year, New Habits. And okay, so Von, let me ask you this. Are there methods for prioritizing the changes that are most needed or important? How do you do that? How do you know where to start?
Well, I typically say that your goals need to align with your values. And so here's the thing about it. When we talk about goals, like both winners and losers all set goals. Everybody who wins, everyone who loses, they kind of usually set a goal. And when we're talking about goals, all of your behavior, you have to keep this in mind, all of your behavior that you do in life is typically a desire to solve a problem. And that problem could be to obtain something, or it's because you want relief from something. So when we're talking about prioritizing your goals, figure out your values and what's most important to you, and then come up with that system like we talked about before. So figuring out that system to accomplish your goals, but when you prioritize it, that priority needs to be based on what's most important to you. So you need to ask yourself what's most important to you, and then why is that thing important to you as well whenever you're trying to prioritize your goals.
Interesting. Well, so are small changes just as important as big ones?
Well, like I said before, like the small changes are the keys to establishing a good habit. You know, let's say if you want to read a book, well, you just read a book for 2 minutes a day, you know, and that helps you with the habit of setting the goal of reading the book. You don't say to yourself, I want to read a whole book, or I want to run a marathon. It's literally, I want to go to the gym, or I want to be the kind of person who reads a book, or I want to be the kind of person who runs a marathon. And then you just start with the small things. And whenever you master that art of just doing the small things, then you start to develop the habit. And that leads you to where you want to go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Well, why do we develop bad habits? What's at the root of that? And do they start young? Like everything, you know, your childhood. Are they contingent or related to your childhood?
So I would say this, that habits, you know, there's a scientific approach to the habits that you form. So when you look at the science behind it, there are four phases. The first one is a cue. There's a cue, and then there's a craving, and then there's a response, and then a reward. Again, cue, craving, response, reward. So let's say your phone buzzes, you know, with a new text message. That's the cue. The craving is that you want to learn the contents of whatever message that is. Okay, your response is that you grab the phone, you read a text message, and the reward is that small piece of dopamine that actually hits your mind whenever you actually read the text message because someone thought you were important. Like, I have a good friend of mine, he's actually a family member. Every time the Dallas Cowboys make a bad play, you know, he literally, that's the cue, his craving is for a cigarette or to puff on some e-cig or something like that. And so he responds by going outside, you know, hitting the e-cig or the cigarette, and then that, you know, he gets that reward from whatever that, you know, is that, you know, the cigarette gives him. So there's always a problem phase, which is the first two things, the cue and the craving, and then a solution phase, which is the response and the reward. And one more example, let's say your problem phase is that you wake up, you know, that's your cue. Your craving is that you want to feel alert. So then you go into the solution phase. So the response to that, like most people, like for me, for instance, I always love coffee. I drink coffee almost every single day. That is my response because my behavior, because my reward is that I want to feel alert because that coffee helps me to wake up in the morning. Yeah. So when we break down habits and we break down behavior, you got to figure out your cue and your craving. And then what is your response and reward? And if you can try to, you know, kind of change the cue and the craving, then your response and your reward is going to, those things are going to come a lot easier.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We got about 3 minutes, too, by the way. Is it more difficult to end a bad habit or to adopt a healthy one?
You know what? To be honest with you, the way you create a good habit is by making that first part of that sequence, the cue. You got to make it obvious. You got to make it attractive. Beth Rita Johnson, she talked about this, about changing your environment. Your environment is key to establishing some good habits. For instance, if you say, I don't want to watch television anymore, if you walk into your home, and just like most homes in America, every single living room sofa faces the television, then that cue says, hey, you know what? I want to watch TV because it's going to give me something. It's going to help me de-stress from the day or whatever that is. So you want to make your cue really obvious, and you may have to change your environment whenever you're trying to establish a good habit. And then you want to make your craving, you know, attractive. For instance, if it's a bad habit, let's say the cue is, you know, I get hungry, and then the craving is, oh, man, look at that donut. I take a bite of that donut, and the reward is satisfying because I get that sugary sweetness. My brain activates like, you know, I'm on cocaine. So we have to invert these laws, you know. You know, make the cue, you know, obvious. Sometimes you have to make it invisible. You also want to make your craving something that's unattractive. Okay. Yeah. And then your response, you have to make it difficult because there are long-term things, there are long-term rewards. And a lot of times we go for the short-term as opposed to long-term because, you know, the long-term stuff, sometimes you don't see it. Initially, if you go to the gym, you don't see your body change the first workout. You know, in fact, it kind of sucks because you're sore and all this other kind of stuff. And so we have to invert some of these laws as we work towards developing good habits and trying to, you know, get rid of some of these bad habits.
Well, what do you say to someone who says, I have no self-control? And also this, you know, I read this quote a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of intrigued me and has made me think a lot about it. They say that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything.
The way you do one thing,
is the way you do everything. What do you think about that?
Huh. So let me see here. I would say I have a couple of thoughts about that from the standpoint of the way you do one thing, how you start something, you know, like the catalyst. I would say there's a thought process that you go through in the way you initiate a project. I, by and large, am someone who is, and I know this to be true about myself, I am great at brainstorming. I am great at starting projects. However, I am horrible at finishing projects. So I'll start reading 10 books all at the same time, and I'll never finish any of them. And then I'll come back, you know, 2 years later and read the same book. Oh, here I start, you know, I left off on chapter 2 kind of deal. So, but by and large, that's for the majority of things in my life. And I have to try to, you know, figure out some ways I can kind of, you know, cut that habit in half or cut that process off and try to figure out some things I can do differently in order to try to complete projects, if that makes sense. So I guess there's some truth to that, but when we're talking about, how do you have self-control? No, not a problem. So how do you have self-control? You have to do some things to establish, you know, good habits to have self-control. So if you're playing too much video games, you need to unplug the console. You know, you want to put it in the closet after each use. You want to try to create some friction between the thing that is a bad habit and then try to establish a good habit. So if it's watching television, well, you want to unplug the television and then make it more difficult for you to actually watch television. So if you're spending too much money on electricity, you got to do a few things to try to resist temptation and work on those cues that are leading to bad habits.
I love being on the air with you, Vaughn. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we're out of time. We gotta say goodbye. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. It's been a great show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Vaughn, thank you so much. Everyone, remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and change a habit.